I turn to the book of Joshua, chapter 10. Verse 5, therefore the kings of the Amorites, the king of Jerusalem, of Hebron, of Jarmuth, of Lachish, and Eglon, gathered themselves together, and went up, they and all their hosts, and encamped before Gibeon, and made war against it. And the men of Gibeon sent unto Joshua to the camp to Gilgal, saying, slack not thy hand from thy servants. Come up to us quickly, and save us and help us. For all the kings of the Amorites that dwell in the mountains are gathered together against us. So Joshua ascended from Gilgal, he and all the people of war with him, and all the mighty men of valor. And the Lord said unto Joshua, fear them not, for I have delivered them into thine hand. There shall not a man of them stand before thee. Verse 11, and it came to pass, as they fled from before Israel, and were in the going down to Beth Horon, that the Lord cast down great stones from heaven upon them unto Azekah. And they died, and they were more which died from the hailstones than they whom the children of Israel slew with the sword. Now, I've got a lengthy reading, so please stay with me. Then spake Joshua to the Lord in the day that the Lord delivered up the Amorites before the children of Israel, and said in the sight of Israel, sun, stand thou still upon Gibeon, and thou moon in the valley of Ajalon. And the sun stood still, and the moon stayed, until the people had avenged themselves upon their enemies. Is this not written in the book of Jasher? So the sun stood still in the midst of heaven, and hasted not to go down about a whole day. There was no day like that before it or after it. The Lord hearkened unto the voice of a man, for the Lord fought for Israel. Joshua returned, and all Israel with him, unto the camp to Gilgal. And these five kings fled and hid themselves in a cave. Would you say that with me? Hid themselves in a cave. Say it again. Hid themselves in a cave. Say, my enemy is hiding in the cave. Oh, my God. And Joshua said, roll a great stone upon the mouth of the cave, and set men by it, for to keep them. Stay ye not, but pursue after your enemies. Smite the hindmost of them. Suffer them not to enter their cities, for the Lord God hath delivered them into your hand. Verse 22. Then said Joshua, after the battle, open the mouth of the cave and bring out your enemies. Bring out those five kings, king of Jerusalem, king of Hebron, king of Jarmuth, king of Lachish, and king of Eglon. Came to pass when they brought out those kings unto Joshua, that Joshua called for all the men of Israel and said unto the captains of the men of war, which went with him, come near, put your feet upon the necks of these your enemies. They came near and put their feet upon the necks of them. And Joshua said unto them, fear not, nor be dismayed. Be strong and of good courage. For thus shall the Lord do to all your enemies against whom ye fight. And afterward Joshua smote them and slew them. I want you to get this. This is awesome. And hanged them on five trees, one for each king, until the evening. And it came to pass at the time of the going down of the sun, Joshua commanded, and they took them down off the trees. Now watch this. And cast them into the cave, and laid great stones in the mouth of the cave, which remain until this very day. Notice again this scripture. They came near, verse 24, and put their feet upon the necks of them. I want to preach 10 messages right now in the next 35 minutes. And I got three of them I won't preach it. No. I want to preach on put your eye on the promise and your foot on the problem.
All right. Great job. All right.
I mean, it's time to tread on your trouble. Lord, bless the ministry of the word and help me to do a great job in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen.
Amen.
You may be seated. I want you to understand this now, because I'm going to be smoking here.
Yeah.
And I ain't got time for you to warm up. I expect as much courtesy as you did for all the banjos.
Yeah.
According to Psalms 8 and verse 6, when God made man, according to Psalms 8 and 6, he put all things under his feet.
Yeah.
All things were under man's feet. Because he was made in God's image, had God's nature, had God's holiness. As long as he was in union and relationship with God, everything was subject to him and under his feet. But when he transgressed, now he went under Satan's feet. And for all these years, that slime bucket's got his foot on our necks. But the last Adam came from heaven. Who, according to Genesis 3:15, would be the head crusher. And the serpent would strike his foot, but he would crush his head. And we need to walk in the liberty of what's taking place at Calvary. It's time tonight for some of us, particularly some of us, to get our eye on the promise and get our foot on the problem. Because you ain't going to step on the problem until you get your eye on the promise. It's your eye on the promise that will provoke faith in your heart to stand on the problem. You're going to need more than emotion. You're going to need more than guitar picking. You're going to have to somehow get this book in you tonight and get your eye on the promise. Oh my God. According to this Bible, God has only got one plan for the church, and that's total victory. There's going to be struggles. There have been promised battles. There's been promised resistance. But there's been promised victory. We are more than conquerors through Him who loved us and gave Himself for us. To be more than a conqueror makes you not only the winner of the battle, it now makes you ruler over the foe. Now the Bible says God's promises are yea and amen. But we must implement them. We must appropriate them by faith and action. There is no taste in the world like victory. Everybody just kind of go. Oh, I like the taste of victory. I love the sweet juice of joy when I win. I taste enough bitter things in my life. I need to savor some joy juice tonight. Because God promises victory, our adversary, the devil, attacks. He attacks by casting doubt on the Word. Then he attacks as a serpent because he is a deceiver. Then he attacks as a lion and tries to terrify us. Then he attacks as an angel of light trying to counterfeit salvation. Then he attacks as an adversary and he opposes every effort to appropriate the promise of God to our lives. And I'm telling you, he finally attacks as a father of lies. He perpetrates a stupidity on us. He tries to tell us that we're helpless and that God doesn't care about us. But tonight, you need to look at the problem and look at the promise and keep your eye on the promise and put your foot slap on the neck of the biggest problem in your life. Oh, my Lord. The Lord promised Joshua, there shall not be a man be able to stand before you. Go and fight. Now, I've heard these smart guys refute the validity of the Bible over this scripture in verse 12 that Joshua was so stupid and said, sun, stand still. And moon, go not down in the valley. I've read their little treatises and said, see, the Bible's full of error. And Joshua was ignorant. Because the sun doesn't move. It's the earth that moves around the sun. And so when he said to the sun, stand still, he didn't know what was going on. He's ignorant. The sun couldn't still stand still. And the Bible says, and the sun stood still. So this fellow writing in his book said, see how stupid the Bible is? See how full of errors the Bible is? But the gentleman writing this little article didn't know anything about Hebrew. And the word that is translated, stood still, literally means cease from doing your function. You know what the function of the sun is to the earth? Gravitational pull. And if the sun stops pulling with its gravity, it stops the earth. I'm just going to let it sink. You say, well, the sun stood still. No, it didn't mean stop movement. The writing in the original Hebrew meant stop doing your function. In other words, for a few moments, stop pulling on the earth. And if you stop pulling on the earth will stop and time will stop.
Amen. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Don't let these wise guys fool you. The heathen will yet praise the Lord. Now, here's what my little message is, and I'm going as fast as I can. Joshua is whipping the fire at everybody. One of the reasons why he went up to help the Gibeonites is because the Gibeonites signed a treaty with the Jews. They surrendered and said, we'll be friends. Here's the treaty. And the minute they signed up with the one God people, the five Philistines, the five Amorites, charged up and said, let's kill those who are at peace with God's people. Hear the lesson tonight. When you join this church and you get a part of this, I want you to know the same devil that fights us is going to jump on you. He'll leave you alone as long as you have got a treaty with him. But when you break your treaty with him and you make a treaty with us and our God, he's going to attack. But I've got news for you. He may attack, but we've got reserves. We've got reserves. We've got power. We've got reserves that come from another world. Don't you worry about the enemy attacking. Now watch this. This is powerful. The Bible says that when they charged up there, nobody could stand before them, and the five kings went and hid themselves in the cave. I'm telling you tonight, God would like for this church to clean out the cave. It's not enough for you and I to chase the enemy into the cave. Because while he may not be bothering you at the moment, he's alive in that cave. And he's going to do everything he can to get out of that cave. Oh, boy. Now just hold on because I'm going to pastor now. It's not enough for you and I to hide feelings in a cave. It's not enough for us to put our wounded hearts and spirits in a cave. Whew. It's not enough for you and I to just spiritually ignore a situation. The Holy Ghost is telling us tonight, open up the cave and bring it out. I kind of thought I'd shut down the shouting. What did he say? Bring out the problem, put your eye on the promise, and now put your foot on the problem. Don't ignore the problem. Don't look at jealousy and hatred and strife and envy. You know what? You know how you get the problem put in the cave? Worship and prayer will drive the enemy into the cave.
Amen.
But you see, by the time you leave here and get to Wendy's and McDonald's, he's coming back out of the cave. Because you can't maintain that level of praise and worship all the time.
Amen.
Hear what I'm telling you? That's why worship and praise are so important in the service. It helps us drive these things into a place where we can hold them back. But the Spirit is saying, okay, once you get them in the cave, come on. Get your eye on the promise. Nothing is able to conquer you. Bring the problem back out of the cave and stand on it. God, I'm trying as fast as I can. Don't just chase the problem away. Bring it out. Tread on it. Jealousy, discord, hurt feelings, fear. Some of you tonight are still suffering from fear. Some of you are still fighting financial problems. It ain't going away. It's just going to stay hidden in the cave. Good thing we shouted a minute ago. Some of us tonight are suffering from loneliness. But you know what we do? We get in a good service, we feel the goosebumps, we feel the effervescent vibrancy of the Holy Ghost, and for a little while we put that loneliness in the cave. But night's coming. And that old character will be whispering from behind that cave, "I'm still here. I may not be bugging you now, but I just want you to know I'm a-watching for my time." There's some of us that battle feelings and emotions inside of us. Drives and motivations that sometimes are not the purest things. You know what we do? We get into the Word, we get into the Spirit, we get into the singing, and we drive that slime bucket into the cave. And then we just put a bunch of stones in front. And say, "Woo! Glory, glory, glory." And by Tuesday afternoon at 2:30, that dude has busted out of that cave and ate our lunch. Because this ain't the same church that always shows up on Wednesday. But I'm telling you, the fear of God, Reverend, God would like for us tonight to look at the promise and open up the cave of secret feelings and secret hurts and secret fears and bring those five enemies out and lay them on the ground and put your foot on their neck and say, "So shall the Lord do with every enemy I've got." In the world, ye shall have tribulation. Problem. Rejoice. Be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. Promise. And because I live, ye shall live also. Oh. Watch me. Ye shall be hated and persecuted of all men for my name's sake. Problem. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Promise. He shall be attacked, despised, hated. Problem. What's the promise? Nothing can separate you from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. So you got that problem there? Don't live with the problem. I wrote a little note down here. Here's what it said. Psychiatrists search for areas where things lay hidden in the human mind and spirit. Oh, yes, they do. Lay down on the couch. Relax. Let's talk. Open up. You know what they're doing? They're looking for the cave. Oh, yeah. There's usually a door somewhere in front of that cave. And they just keep you talking and keep you talking until all of a sudden, bingo, bingo, bingo. Ah, now we know the reason why you killed those nine people is because you didn't have Buster Brown shoes when you was a kid. And you had yellow shoelaces and you sucked on Tootsie Rolls with the wrappers on. That's what your problem is, you see. Now we understand. We've got to. And here's what the psychiatrist says. Open up. You hear me? He says, open up the cave and face the problem. The problem with the psychiatrist is this. He says, open up the cave, face the problem, adjust your life to the problem, and learn to live with the problem. Hear what faith says. Bring out the problem, put your foot on the problem, kill the problem in the name of Jesus, and don't let it torment you. Going to adjust my life to live with the problem. I got a promise deed. I'm going to put my foot on the problem. I'm going to put my eye on the promise. How am I doing? My God, have mercy. Peter had a problem. He's sinking in the water. But he had a promise. Come. And as long as he kept his eye on the promise, he didn't have no problem with the problem. They put the three Hebrew children in that furnace. That's quite a problem. But their eye was on the promise. Our God will deliver us. And they're walking around in the problem. They say, "Boy, you got a problem." Them Jews are saying, "What problem? Everything's fine to me." God, have mercy. Abraham had a problem. God gave a promise. You're going to have a bambino, you and Sarah. And the problem was doubt and old age. But Abraham looked at the problem, looked at the promise, and put his foot on the problem. And it was accounted unto him for righteousness. You can't just quote the promise. You got to let the promise get in you. You got to physically get involved. According to one fella, he told me there are over 8,000 promises in the Bible. 8,000. Now we get one little old problem and get suicidal. And I'll tell you something else we do with all this positive mental attitude jazz. We quote a promise and don't do beans about the problem. We just find a little pet scripture we want. We just name it, claim it, just keep quoting. That ain't going to make that problem go away. You got your eye on a promise? Open up the cave. Give me a problem. Get on down here. Oh, God. My mind, you have to forgive me. I'm having a coronary arrest here. David, that little boy, has got a promise. You'll be king. He's got a 9'6" problem. You'll be dead. Now, wait a minute. Just because you've heard the story, don't ignore what I'm telling you now. He looked at the problem, Brian, which was bigger than him, but not bigger than the promise. And he looked at the promise, thou shalt be king in Israel. You know what I think I'll do? I think I'll attack the problem. You know what Israel did? They had all the promises. They didn't attack the problem. They stayed on the other side of the valley and stuck their tongue out at the problem. We ain't fighting Goliath. He's too big. But David looks at the problem, looks at the promise, and says, attack! You say, what good was it? Oh, the end of the story says, and he stood on the problem. And he didn't just knock it down. He cut its ignorant head off. You need to cut the head off some things that are jeering on you and tormenting you and bugging you. You got the promise. Now stand on the problem. Got any meat, children? Nah, we fished all night. Didn't take anything. Problem. Cast your net on the other side. You're fine. Promise. Peter, let out your net for a draw. Oh, we fished all the time. We know these waters. We let it out for a draw. Nevertheless, it's your word. We got a promise. We got a promise. You know what he did? By acting in faith, he stood on the problem. Amen. I'm sorry you're waiting for the good part. I just passed it. Now I'm going to read what the Lord inspired me while you were saying. 10 lepers have got a problem. They got leprosy. But they got a promise. Go show yourself to the priest. And they walked on the problem with their eye on the promise. The nobleman's got a problem. His son's dying. So Jesus gives him a promise. Go thy way, thy son liveth. He doesn't just believe. He acts on believing. And as he walks towards his child, the child's being healed. You can't keep it in the cave. It's got to come out of the cave tonight. Virgin Mary's got a problem. She's a virgin. She's unmarried. She's got a promise. You're going to have a child. She's going to be Messiah. She looks at the problem. She looks at the promise. She takes the promise and stands on top of the problem. Let God's will be done. Situations scream to us. Feelings speak to us. Devils talk to us. But God also says, get your eye on the promise and put your foot on the problem. They're starving in Samaria.
And there's always some lame brain that doesn't believe in the miraculous and revival who's going to say, if God would make windows, could it be? But you know what happened? When God gave them the miracle and they believed the promise, they walked on top of the problem. For they crushed him in the gate. We let too many problems stay hidden among us. Elijah's got a problem, worldwide famine, worldwide drought. He's alone, he's hated. God said, show yourself, Ahab, I'll send rain. What does he do? He's looking for the promise. He keeps searching the sky. And by looking at the promise, he is standing against and on the problem. Now I'm either losing you or you're starting to think. Simon Peter said, depart from me, Lord. I'm a sinful man. Problem. The Lord said, don't worry about it. I'll make you become a fisher of men. Promise. But you'll never conquer the problem without putting your eye on the promise. Some of us tonight are saying like Simon Peter, I have failed. I have lied. I have made the wrong decision. I've done the wrong thing. Nevertheless, the promise of God said, come. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thought and let him return to the Lord. Now this is getting too hard to preach. I ain't going to do this. Hear what I'm telling you and I'll close. Job was attacked by Satan. He lost his wealth. He lost his health. He lost his family. His wife misunderstood. He was tormented by God's silence. He was frustrated by criticizing friends. And yet, Job keeps treading on his trouble, saying, my Redeemer liveth. And I shall see him in the last day, in my own flesh and not another. And though I cannot find him, he knoweth the path that I take. And when I am tried, I shall come forth as pure gold. We have not conquered the problem when we just separate ourselves from it. It's hidden in a cave. Jesus, have mercy. Read for me, Reverend Philip, and I'll finish right now.
Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents.
You hear it?
Scorpions.
That's the power given to the church. Put your problem under your feet. What good is power given to you that you don't use? Go around all the time quoting scripture. I got power. Well, step on the slob. I give you power to tread. It did not say I give you power to step.
Amen.
Tread. That's a continual activity. Tread. Sometimes we got all these big promises and we go, and take that. Did you ever kill a snake or a bug that scared the fire out of you? Honey, I stepped on a few one time, and I didn't go, take that. I said, take that, and that. And I went back a few minutes later and give another shot. Honey, don't just dabble with it. Kill it. Bring it out tonight and step on it. I give you power to tread on it. I said, I give you power to tread on the serpent. Okay, I'm almost there. Come on. And scorpions.
And over all the power of the enemy, and nothing
shall by any means
hurt you.
Why is it going to harm you? I'll tell you why. Because you're on top of it. Now, if you got a problem, Bobby, and it's 2.5 foot away from you, and it's a 5.5 foot rattler, it's going to hurt you. But if you can get up to it somehow where it can't hit you and you start treading on it, it ain't going to hurt you. He's trying to get out of the way. Abandon ship. You think I'm kidding you? We stand here with 8,000 promises, stick our tongue out at the devil and say, we've got more power than you. We've got more authority than you. The blood of Jesus against you. The name of Jesus against you. But he's over there and we're over here just like Israel and a giant. We need somebody wacko to cut across the valley and say, hey clown, you're going down. My God, I've been anointed to be a king. Friends, you're not going to whip me. And I'm telling you, you have been anointed to be kings and priests unto your God. You need to get your eye on the promise. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I'll not put on you more than you can bear. It's time to clean out the cave. Oh, God, read for me some more, Philip. I'm getting inspired here. Yes, Psalms 44.
Thou art my king, O God.
Watch this.
Command deliverances for Jacob.
Command deliverance.
Through thee we will push down our enemies.
We'll push them down. Watch this.
Through thy name we will tread.
Whoop, whoop. Through thy name. Now watch. We'll push them down. But through thy name we will what?
Tread them under that rise up against us.
Not this. Not. You read this, devil. Hey, devil, you. Come here, you. Now, you stay there. And I don't want you getting up. You know what he'll do? He'll say, let me go back in the cave. I won't bother you. No more cave dwelling for you. Come out of that cave. Now, you hear what I'm telling you right now. There is a deep call of the Spirit to many of us tonight to clean out the cave of past failure and days gone by of non-commitment. It's in the cave. Put the stones in front of the cave, but it's there. We need to get that cave cleaned out tonight. Get your eye on the promise. Nothing can destroy you. Nothing can overcome you. There's no force, no power, no sex, no drugs, no money, no nothing in this world, my friend, that can get you away from the love of God if you don't want to go away. The grace of God is greater than any enemy we face. The grace of God is able to keep you. The power of God is able to transform you and I into something that God wants us to be. But we've got to put our foot on the problem. Right now, some of you suffer with feelings, emotions, drives, sexual fantasies, dishonesty, immorality. I don't care what you got. You are never going to have victory in God as long as you let that stuff stay alive in the cave. And you think I'm lying? You think I'm talking to you some like spiritual virgin? I know what I am talking about. I've been 20 years trying to get this stinking carcass right. There's been areas in my life when I have done the very thing I'm preaching about. Get a good move of God, get a little tongue talking, get a little juking and jiving. You know what I do, Dean? Chase them into the cave. And all of a sudden, in a week, 10 days, he's sitting in my lap. How you doing, Jeff? How's things, buddy? Had revival while I was gone, huh? You're going to have hell now. Oh, Jesus, Jesus, I rebuke you, devil. I rebuke you. I plead the blood. I plead the blood. Ah! Now, you stay there.
Yes, sir.
24 hours. Same feeling. Same frustration. Same empty futility. What is going on? I got him in the cave captive. But I need to get him out of the cave and stand on it. And bad feelings and scars and wounds and hurts. Can't do much about it. Go around sucking your thumb for 20 years. Bring him out of the cave tonight. Say, I'm going to deal with you tonight. You ain't going to bring him out of the cave unless you've got your eye on the promise. read for me, Philip. I'm almost finished.
Thou shalt tread upon the lion and the adder.
Thou shalt tread upon the lion and the adder. Go ahead.
The young lion,
the
dragon shalt thou trample under feet.
Oh, I like that one. I didn't. Now we've gone Ozell from tread to trample. Think I'm kidding you? Stand up. Now you trample. I trample on jealousy. I trample on ego. I trample on pride. I trample on my past failures. I trample on hurt feelings. I trample on wounded spirits. I trample on everything where I have failed God. I'm a trampling on it tonight. I'm putting it under my foot tonight. I'm doing it in Jesus' name. You can sit for one more minute and I'm finished. Don't pay to laugh at me. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. I love it. I love it. I want you to go in Joshua 10 for me, if you would, Philip, please. And I'll try it right now to finish. Paul, I need to read this to you because the Lord spoke this to me on a platform. I'll just read it to you because it was coming so fast. I just scribbled it. I've failed. I've lied. I've cheated. I've made wrong decisions. My life is a mess. Is there any hope for me? You know, I don't just have problems. I am a problem. And here's what the Lord said. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become. Any hope for you? Sure. Just bring the stuff when you come to the altar out of the cave. Get your eye on the promise and your foot on the problem. Israel, I know you got a problem, an Egyptian problem, but you've got a heavenly promise. You're coming out. Church, you're leaving. And if you sin, you have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And if you and I will confess our failures and our mistakes and our sins and our cave dwellers, He'll wash and cleanse and forgive. Boy, I'm on something right here. There's a hiding spirit here right now. Yes, there is. There's a hiding spirit here right now. Now, I'm not going to say, God showed me you're doing this. No, I'm not going to do that. I wouldn't embarrass you. I wouldn't do that. But I'm going to tell you, some of you right now, you're hiding things in the cave. And you think it's okay because you don't have to handle them. And as long as you're not irritated by them and you keep them back there, you supposedly have victory. I'm telling you, that thing that you're keeping in the cave has got the power to kill you in a sunrise. And we need to bring that out of the cave tonight and take the Word of God and put our foot on its neck. Notice it didn't say, Dean, put its foot on its back or its foot or its hand. On its neck. Put him face down and put your foot on his neck. You know what? You get somebody on the ground, put your foot on their neck. And when you put your foot on their neck, it hurts their mouth to talk. Their hands can't operate. And their feet don't do much. And you just kind of there. Just kind of. Yeah. I stepped on a snake one time. Got him right behind the head. And I just watched him do the Watusi all over the place. Man, he just had jumped. And I just laughed. You think I'm kidding you? Step on his tail and see how much you laugh. But just get him on his neck. Where he can't talk his trash and do his thing. Okay. I'm finished. We have a friend that's sticking closer than a brother. We have been come through the new birth, King's kids. Jesus said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Well, I got something else to tell you. Neither will the devil. He won't leave you alone either. Isn't that great? You got two powers. Just want your attention. Philip, read for me verse 24, please.
And it came to pass.
Music.
When they brought out those kings unto Joshua.
Yeah, they brought them out.
That Joshua called for all the men of Israel and said unto the captains of the men of war which went with him.
I like this.
Come near. Put your feet upon the necks of these kings.
Hey, you know what we're going to do right now? He called for the captains of war. Captains. You know what that meant? Leadership. You know what that meant? Department heads. I want the captains in this church. I want people who are in department head positions to come. Right now. Would everybody stand? It'll make it easier for you. If you're in charge of anything in this church, if you're our department head, I want you to come. Because everybody's going to follow your example.